Open your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. I've got a lot of information and a lot of things here today I want to cover. And this could be a series, probably would be a semester-long class even, that we could go on here talking about some of these things that we're going to cover here today. As we look here, we'll start reading in Ephesians chapter 6 and read the passage starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. As you look at a familiar passage, you know, I take the risk of preaching that here this morning. As we look at this section of Scripture, it is very familiar to us. We can go back to junior church and Sunday schools and look at the information that is here today, and I kind of tried to bring that back to you here, and we're gonna not quite teach this like it's a junior church lesson, but I have lots of slides here today, and most of you by now had me as a teacher and realized that I break the cardinal rule of education by putting too much information on my slides. So I don't have to repeat myself, and you can just write it down. But here today, it's not a lot of information, but there's lots of slides. So the whole junior church thing will come together here because I have lots of pictures, and people like pictures. We see here in Ephesians chapter 6, starting here in this paragraph, Apostle Paul, concluding now this dissertation, says, finally, last but not least, brethren, saved ones, fellow Christians, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. So today, we're going to talk about a couple things here. And first question I have for you is, are you a battle-ready soldier? We're going to look at and discuss some things about soldiers, about battle, about armor. What a soldier, a warrior, someone that is preparing to fight the enemy, there are several things that's necessary for them to do battle effectively. And the biggest of that is to be prepared, both physically, mentally, in this case even spiritually, as we do battle in the Christian life. How are we to be strong? So let's look at this passage in detail today. Then we're focusing on the concept of a soldier. We're going to tie in here with the armor of a crusader or even, you know, a Roman legionnaire, a warrior, as we are in warrior country. You know, this isn't something that was nebulously decided back as a mascot. But warriors for Christ, we do battle every day against the world, the flesh, and the devil. My theme verse for Foundations class, both those that I had last year and those here this year, is 2 Timothy 2:3. To endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He is our commander. He is the one that is both equipping us and also giving us the strength and the direction to do battle. Galatians 5:1, another good verse that ties in this thought and this idea here as we focus on our theme for this year. To be not entangled against, again, with the yoke of bondage. My theme somewhat today, besides being servants under the yoke, also ties a lot with last year's theme, Dr. Anderson, and bringing that together, this idea, as Jesus Christ being our commander, we are serving under His yoke. For His pleasure, at His direction, like a slave, a doulos, you don't have a choice. It's not your personality. It's not your credentials. It's not who you are inside. You don't get to assert your will. Everything as a slave is as service to the master. Well, the same thought here, as we are under the yoke, we are to be ready to do battle for the Lord. As our commander, we are under His yoke. So, I want to look quickly here at what our soldiers and their strengths throughout history. To look at the armor, look at the equipment as we go. Today, most soldiers don't carry a sword. Most carry some form of a sharp instrument, a knife. They don't carry battle axes and lances or even bows, unless they're in a stealth mode, as some special forces do. They carry the weapons that are contemporary to them, that they have access to in the availability and the cutting edge to be as equipped or better and prepared as much as the enemy that they face. So I'm going to scroll through these pictures here, and we see different types of armor, different types of equipment, different types of soldiers throughout history. I don't cover every nation, every continent even, of groups of soldiers, warriors, but you'll see the point here with this, some of the great warriors of history. You know, we had the samurai, we had the Spartans, we'll talk about here and how it is a very good illustration of the equipment we'll talk about here out of this passage. Arab warriors, Shaolin monks, and you think, oh, they're monks. You know, the whole training and concept behind them is phenomenal. Aztec warriors, Maasai warriors, our Greek warriors, which again will blends Greek, Spartan, Roman, all that era here of Scripture. You think of the Viking warriors and how feared they were when their boats showed up. This is more of a contemporary picture and not a picture of a Scottish Highlander in battle, but even as up to even World War II. You know, there's a saying, you know, woe to the man that hears the bagpipes and wasn't born in Scotland. African Zulu warriors, fierce warriors. The American Indian, which some were very well trained and disciplined, you know, as the Apache warrior, Geronimo, in a group that was severely outnumbered for most of this era in the Ulysses S. Grant times here and the end of the 1800s. Aborigines warriors, fighting with different tools and skill sets even. Then we have our modern day warriors. We think of, you know, some of these as the British SAS. Now we've moved to, you know, using projectiles coming at you at a little faster, close to 3,000 feet per second instead of a stone or a sling. Mossad, very much still revered in one of the highest trained groups in the world. Our U.S. soldiers, nice picture here. You know, not a lot of combat going on, just a group of guys here, equipped all the way to the weapon, the helmet. We see our SEAL warriors, those representing the Navy, Mr. Hammonds. You know, we have the famous SEAL Team 6. You know, the Air Force PJs, which you don't think of a lot of times, as they're very much almost a secret group that are as well trained as any special forces. Marine Force Recon, you know, people that are trained to the point of total discipline. And I had a buddy who at one point was in, you know, history books as the soldier, sailor, marine, you know, that was in proximity of death more than anyone else in history at that time, with IED explosions in Iraq, where he watched people next to him, you know, die, and he did not. Shrapnel a few times, but had like 11 times in proximity of death. The U.S. Army Special Forces, the Green Beret, and then a lot of these come and go into, you know, the true spooks of the Delta Force and the guys that you don't even know are there, and things that are done, such as taking Jessica Lynch out, you know, back in Desert Storm. We think about this concept and idea of why are we prepared? Why do we have these things going on? As a Christian, we correlate this here as life becoming, again, is a spiritual battle, because we have a true enemy that we face. We'll see, first of all, that the enemy we fight, first couple verses here, Ephesians chapter 6, Satan is a strong enemy. So Paul exhorts us to be strong. Paul knows that the flesh is weak and that we can overcome only in Christ's power. Note that before Paul tells us to stand in verse 11, he commands us in verse 10 to be strong. How do we receive the strength to stand? By realizing that we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies, far above all of Satan's principalities and powers that we see back in Ephesians chapter 1, and that the very power of God is available to us through the indwelling Spirit, Ephesians chapter 3, whom we must surrender or rank ourselves under that commander. We must sit before we can walk. We must walk before we can stand. And we must understand our spiritual position before we can have a spiritual power. We are under Christ. It's not the flesh. It's not the things that we do. Satan was anointed cherub, whom God placed in charge of the newly created earth, we see in Ezekiel chapter 28. Through pride, he fell, and Isaiah 14 depicts that, and took with him a host of angelic beings who now make up his army of principalities and powers that we face in this spiritual warfare. Satan has access to heaven, we see in Job. But one day, he'll be cast from heaven, as we see in Revelation. He is a deceiver, 2 Corinthians 11. The destroyer, translated also in Revelation 9:11. For he goes about as a serpent and a lion, 1 Peter chapter 5. As Christians, we need to recognize that we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, is Ephesians chapter 2. Just as the Spirit of God works in believers to make them holy, so the spirit of disobedience, Satan and his demons, works in the lives of unbelievers. You know how foolish it is for us to fight in the flesh when the real enemy is merely using that flesh and blood to obstruct the Lord's work by us being in the way. This is the mistake Peter made in the Garden of Gethsemane when he tried to overcome evil with the sword. Moses made the same mistake when he killed the Egyptian. The only way to fight spiritual enemies is with spiritual weapons, the Word of God, and prayer. We must beware of the wiles of the devil here in verse 11, which means his strategies and devices and snares we see in 2 Corinthians and 1 Timothy 3. He is the ruler of darkness and uses darkness, ignorance, and lies to further his cause. The battle is real. We need to endure darkness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Psalm 144:1. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teach my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Both a physical army, a physical battle that God in the Old Testament prepared His saints to do battle, as we think of King David. But spiritually, that battle is just as real, and we have to be trained just as effectively through basic combat training to advanced OCS, if you will, as you sitting here today, preparing to do ministry, this battle against Satan. We are to fight as warriors, as we see here on the screen. Another kind of warriors here. Thankful for our guys this year and the effort they're putting into all that they prepare. The discipline we see in athletics, the focus, the team unity, and not to leave out our ladies. Same principle here as we are tenaciously to fight with all of our energy, all of our strength, which was hard to do, ladies, Saturday with the heat being 10 degrees warmer in the gym than it was outside, it felt like. But good job this year. We focus on this idea here of the Roman legionnaire. To be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. So the equipment then is focused on in this section, and we think about what's going on here. It is important that the Christian not give place to the devil, as Ephesians 4:27. That is, leave any area unprotected so that Satan can get a foothold. A lot of times we juggle lots of things, lots of sin, and we get this one down over here, and then we drop this one. And then we go on to something else, and then we drop both of these. And it is hard to juggle. As we know, the Reinhardts do a lot of juggling and a lot of things, and it's fascinating to watch. But with our spiritual life, all it takes sometimes is to let our guard down. As a soldier, we cannot let our guard down. But we must always be ready. We can't blink. We can't hesitate. You can't retreat. But to obey your commander that you are under. But Satan gets that little finger hold. You guys, we do a lot of alpine stuff, rock climbing and all. As you do rock climbing, a lot of times you just try to get that little finger hold where you can just get that finger on and pull yourself up. Then you get up above and you grab hold of something else and you take that little finger hold and you put your foot in there and you make that bigger and better and stronger for somebody else coming. And now you've got your foot on that. And then you get going and you get up there and then somebody else comes up later, like at Seneca Rocks, and takes a peg and drives that puppy in. And now we have a stronghold that you can put a rope on and pull all of your equipment up on. And that's what Satan does in our lives. He looks for those opportunities in areas to find that spot that's a weakness, that chink in the armor, and then to be able to make it bigger, make it a place that he can set up camp and do other areas of your life harm. Excuse me. You know, the armor Paul describes is for protection. The sword, which is God's word, is for actual battle. So we see the defensive weapons and the offensive weapon. Each part of the spiritual armor tells us what believers must have if they are to be protected against Satan. We talked about how, you know, Satan is a deceiver. Satan is the father of lies. But the Christian who knows the truth will not be deceived. You know, we see that idea of the belt of truth. Paul wrote, having your loins girt about with truth, in verse 14. What was he really trying to tell us? Yes, Jesus said, you know, he is the truth. But there is more to consider in what Paul was saying. First one needs to understand the literal meaning here, and then also we look at this spiritual meaning. Mainstream Christian views on this passage often agree that Paul was in prison and looking at a Roman soldier's uniform while he was writing this letter to the Ephesians. When Paul mentions having your loins girt about with truth, he is referring to protecting the pelvic region of the body, which is very vulnerable. This action was common practice for most of the people living in that era, not just the Roman soldiers. You know, they had a tunic on, and they had to pull up that tunic and to use that girdle or that belt to secure that for mobility so that they can move, so that they could not have something hanging down to get caught on. You know, this is our source of power. The truth, the absolute truth of the Word of God spiritually is our source of power that helps us to be able to do ministry. You know, if you study arts, the art of fighting and things, you'll see that your power comes as you drive, you know, with your hips, or you kick, or you wield a sword, and to be able to have that back and hip strength to use your legs to be able to fight is the first thing we start with here and look at that belt of truth. The spiritual meaning is one part of what Paul is trying to tell us is to secure anything that will cause us to stumble or fall down when moving about quickly in the Christian daily battle. We should always be spiritually sharp and ready to respond with that spiritual mobility and agility in the battle. We can't stumble. We can't fall down. There's not necessarily a specific list we're going to look at of all those things that can trip us up. But the truth of the Word of God is sure and helps us to discern and to figure out what areas and what we need to do, along with the Holy Spirit speaking to us and showing us those ways of error, those chinks in our armor. A lot of times it's in our mind, this battleground. You know, 1 Peter 1:13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You know, Peter's discussing the same thing Paul wrote about in verse 14. Both men are trying to help Christians understand the importance of being spiritually mobile and spiritually agile in order to protect and guard and defend the most valuable areas of personal weakness in your life. That you can be a person that focuses on your primary ministry of holiness, being acceptable unto God, so that you can please Him and do His work and follow His commands. Now we see the quickly here, some of these others. We think of the breastplate of righteousness to protect our heart. This means the consistent daily walk of the Christian. You know, Satan is the accuser, but the believer who walks in this area, you know, excuse me, flipped the wrong page. The believer who walks, you know, in the light gives Satan, you know, no opportunity to attack. You know, we stand in the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, not our own. And we walk in the imparted righteousness of the Holy Spirit. We see our feet shod with peace. Satan is a deceiver and a destroyer. When the believer walks in the way of peace, the gospel way, then Satan can't reach him. The Christian's feet are to be clean, we see in John 13, beautiful, Romans chapter 10, and shod with the gospel. Christians who are ready to witness for Jesus Christ have an easier time defeating the evil one. We see the shield of faith. Satan is the source of unbelief and doubt. Has God indeed said, is one of his favorite questions. Faith is what overcomes every foe. As believers use, you know, the shield of faith, the fiery darts of unbelief and doubt are kept away. One of the greatest things you have is the faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how He has called you to deliver and carry out the great commission of the gospel in both evangelism and discipleship as you personally work and train and prepare others to do the work of the ministry. We also see the helmet of salvation. Verse 17 probably refers to our ultimate salvation. When Christ returns, and we see in 1 Thessalonians 5, the believer whose mind is fixed on Christ's imminent coming will not fall into Satan's traps, because he is that soldier that is alert and looking and preparing and training and doing battle on a daily level with those around him, other soldiers, soldiers of Christ in the church. The blessed hope must be like a helmet to protect the mind. Satan would love to have us believe that Christ is not coming back or that He is not coming back today. Just a little piece of leather, a little bit of metal on it, these soldiers used, you know, but to protect a very, very vital part of their body. Those pieces of armor are all for the believer's protection. But we see the sword of the Spirit and prayer are weapons for attacking Satan's strongholds and defeating him. The Christian must fight spiritual enemies with spiritual weapons. And the Word of God is the only sword we need. God's sword has life and power, not just pierces and brings death, but pierces the darkness and brings life. It never grows dull. It never wears out. It never is useless. It never needs replaced. Christians conquer as they understand God's word, as they memorize it and obey it. Armor and weapons are not sufficient to win the battle, but there must be an energy to do the job. Our energy comes from prayer. We use the sword of the Spirit. We pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us to win the battle. As we read again, Ephesians, chapter 3, even, verse 14 through 21, and dare to believe it. The Word of God and prayer are the two resources God has given the church to overcome the enemy and gain territory for God's glory. Christian soldiers must pray with their eyes open, to watch and pray is God's secret for overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil. We should also watch and pray for opportunities to serve the Lord. We must not only pray for ourselves, but we are to pray for our fellow soldiers. Be an encourager to those around you. We think of the shield of faith. That was a 2-foot by 4-foot shield that the Romans carried. And they walked together in step, locked together, shield upon shield upon shield, as a mighty force. Is the church a mighty force today? Or is one part missing because you let your shield down? Allow God to use you to be an encouragement to those around and to fight together, unified, for the victory that we are pressing on towards. Paul was never too proud to ask for prayer. He wanted to have the power to be able to share this mystery in chapter 3, the very message that had brought him to jail. Ambassadors in bonds is a peculiar title, yet that is exactly what Paul was. He was chained to a different Roman soldier, and they changed that every 6 hours. Talk about a captive audience that he had, and a wonderful opportunity to witness for Christ. Paul closes this magnificent epistle with several personal items, knowing that his friends would want to know so that they can pray better for him. Paul was a true saint, drawing upon God's supply for his every need. Many schools, high schools and colleges, have a reserve officer training corps that focuses on discipline, strength, and how to be a good soldier. My father-in-law was professor of military science at WVU as an Army colonel for many years. And these ROTC programs are nice. But at ABC, we are preparing warriors or soldiers of the cross to fight the fight of faith and bring glory to our commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian life and ministry, for sure, is a battle, but it's a great blessing and opportunity that we have to impact the world. And the Church of God must remember that we are enlisted under the soldier's yoke. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your working in our hearts. Lord, this is a strong passage, one that brings fear, responsibility to us, but Lord, that also brings hope and comfort and peace to know that we don't have to do this on our own. You are both our commander and next to us in the yoke. Lord, we love you and thank you for all that you do. Be with our students and our faculty and staff. Help us, God, to work together, fight strong in the unity of the faith. In Christ's name, amen.